BBC News with Jerry Smith. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has strongly criticised the world's biggest powers for failing to work together to tackle the coronavirus crisis. In a BBC interview, he said the world's nations should back the creation of what he called a people's vaccine, available and affordable to all.
Now, we're all living, as we've said many times, in what is truly a global crisis. But many are asking, where is the global response? It's also being asked by the Secretary General of the United Nations, who's been strongly critical of the world's biggest powers for failing to act together. He's been telling the BBC that relations between US, China and Russia have never been so dysfunctional. In his Nelson Mandela lecture later today, Antonio Guterres will describe COVID-19 as an X-ray revealing fractures in societies around the world. He's been speaking to the BBC's Martha Carney.
COVID-19 has shown the fragilities of our skeleton, the fragilities of our societies. Fragility in relation to the health system's capacity to address a pandemic. It's a microscopic virus that has put us on our knees. Fragility in relation to climate change. Fragility in relation to the lawlessness in the cyberspace, or even to the risks of nuclear proliferation that, unfortunately, are there again. So we have a very fragile world and a very fragile society. And the COVID-19 has demonstrated it in a way that probably we were not entirely aware. And so this is simultaneously an alarm bell, but also an opportunity. We need to fight the pandemic. We need to relaunch our economies, but we need to build back better. And when building back, we need to address these same fragilities, inequality, inequalities in income, but also inequalities in the structure of our societies, gender inequalities, inequalities in relation to ethnicity or race, inequalities in relation to minorities, inequalities in education or in the access to the digital world. And at the same time, we need to bring international cooperation together in order to address the challenges in a much better way than we did with COVID. COVID shown that countries were not cooperating with each other. Each country was doing its own way, and the result is there. We had a pandemic that came from China, then to Europe, then to the US, then it went south, Latin America, Africa, India. And the truth is that there was never a concerted effort to defeat the pandemic together. And unfortunately, there is still not enough solidarity with the developing world for the developed countries to support the poorer ones in being able to fight the virus and at the same time to protect their societies and communities around the dramatic economic and social impacts.
Given that fragility, isn't it time for the UN itself to show more leadership? You face criticisms, if I can just tell you what the International Crisis Group has talked about, saying the Security Council sent a signal of shambolic disunity. A Human Rights Watch says that the Security Council has been entirely missing in action on the pandemic.
The UN is a group of humanitarian agencies that are delivering a fantastic support in very dangerous situations to the most vulnerable communities around the world. The UN is simultaneously a number of human rights institutions. And the UN is also the Security Council. And indeed, the Security Council is divided, but that is a division among member states. It's not an institutional division of an organization. It's a division about member states. And the truth is that the relations among the biggest powers, and I'm talking about the US, Russia and China, have never been as dysfunctional as they are today, and that dysfunction is reflected not only in the Security Council, but also in the fact that even, for instance, the G20 was not able to come together with an effective, coordinated response to this pandemic, as it was the case, I remember many years ago, in 2008, when, and the British leadership, it was possible for the G20 to have a concerted response to the financial crisis of the time. We are now in a much more dysfunctional world. We are now in a world that is no longer bipolar or unipolar, but it is not yet multipolar. It's chaotic in many aspects. And unfortunately, this lack of mutual understanding, this competition among the largest powers is a major fragility for the UN, but I would say for the world in general and for our capacity to address the challenges, be it the pandemic, climate change, or any other one.
So what kind of concerted action would you like to see? Would you like the Security Council to issue a declaration that coronavirus represents a threat to peace and security, which it did during the Ebola outbreak?
Well, what is more important is the Security Council to be effective in addressing the crisis that we have at the present moment. Libya, where we have Security Council resolutions that are not respected at all without consequences. Syria, in which it's absolutely essential to move into a political solution. Yemen, where a political solution is absolutely essential. Afghanistan. I mean, what is fundamental is that the Security Council comes together and having instruments at at their disposal, that the countries of the Security Council use those instruments and create the conditions for conflicts to be solved. We need concerted, permanent action and pressure over the spoilers that unfortunately are creating havoc in so many parts of the world.
And you will need funding as well, but countries like the United Kingdom will be under pressure over its aid budget because people will say the money is needed at home.
Well, it is true that countries must make a big effort to address the problems at home, but the truth is that we will not be safe in relation to the pandemic if everybody is not safe. And so to support the Global South and to support global institutions in fighting the pandemic and creating the conditions to build back better is absolutely essential to preserve the interests of the most developed countries of the world. If the developed countries try to solve their own problems and forget about the rest, in the end, they will pay a terrible price.
Do you think there should be change in the Security Council, change in the kind of countries who are permanent members, given the kind of dysfunction you've outlined?
The institutions we have today are institutions that came from the end of the Second World War. It is clear for me that they do not represent what is today, the global society and the global economy, be it in the Security Council, be it in the voting rights and composition of the boards of the Bretton Woods institutions. I think it would be very good if there would be a consensus to have reforms, allowing those institutions to be much more clearly linked to today's reality. And that would make, I'm sure, not only them more effective, but also more legitimate in the eyes of the population of the world.
So which countries should lose their seat?
Well, it's not a matter of leaving seats. It can be done by joining seats, and it can be done by different ways. I think what we need is the conscience that we must adapt the institutions we have to the reality of today's world.
Another sign of international divisions in the wake of the coronavirus crisis has been the allegations of espionage being carried out by Russia against efforts to research a vaccine. Is this something that you would condemn?
Well, it's clear for me that any espionage in relation to vaccines is to be condemned, as we must condemn any policies that divide the world, instead of conceiving the vaccine as a global public good, conceiving the vaccine as a people's vaccine that must be accessible and affordable to everybody everywhere. The idea to develop a vaccine for each country's population and forget about the others is also something that is unacceptable. So it is very important that intellectual property is respected, that nobody spies anybody, but it is also important that a vaccine available must be available to everybody everywhere and affordable by everybody everywhere.
An impassioned appeal for a vaccine for the people everywhere by the UN Secretary General António Guterres. She was speaking to the BBC's Martha Carney.